show. All right, so fourth third talk tonight. We're continuing on chapter 7, or 7 steps of a godly man or woman, and it's, we understand that principle that as we're seeking not just simply sobriety but freedom from our destructive habits and addictions, that it comes as we experience transformation, and that comes as we walk with God. And so walking is to take repeated steps, so we think, okay, if I'm going to be transformed, there's obviously steps that I'm going to be taking with God that'll help me to have lasting victory. And so we've looked at things about becoming men and women of the Bible, men and women of prayer, men and women with compassionate hearts was last week. And this week we want to consider the thought of becoming men and women who witness. And again, that's something right now where we don't necessarily maybe feel comfortable with doing that, but realizing this is, as we grow in the Lord, He wants to help us get to that point. And so we see this verse, Acts 1 verse 8, this was Jesus, one of his last words before he went up to heaven. And he said, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And so we want to consider all that that verse has to say to us this evening. And so we recognize, first off, that God commands us to witness. And to witness is simply to testify. It's to communicate to others knowledge of something that's not known to them. And we always think of both the ideas of witnessing and giving testimony as being something we would do in a court, right? Where, and a lot of times it can be, it's very important that we give a true witness in court, right? That a person's fate may hang in the balance. And so we realize that we are to give a witness because the fate of others does hang in the balance with the witness that we give. And so we want to think of it that we came to know Jesus, who is the truth that set us free. We didn't just probably stumble on it ourselves. There was someone that came into our life that was a witness of Christ to us. And that's how we came to know the truth. And so, having experienced that, we realize God wants us to now be a witness of Him to other people. And so we see that, where He says in Mark 16, verse 15, "Go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." He wants us to be a witness. And we think of the Apostle John, where he says that we saw him and we bear witness because we want you to share in the same fellowship that we have with him. And that's really what we think, that we have, because we've trusted Him, we have fellowship with Him, we have that relationship that's transformed our lives, and it's just naturally we want to tell other people about it. We want to let them in on the good news. And we realize that many people are confused about or blinded to the truth. That there's a lot of times where you think about it, that people have very little concept of who Jesus actually is and what the Bible actually teaches, right? And a lot of times what little information they do have is often very inaccurate and very skewed. And so it's something that people aren't naturally going to just figure it out on their own. We can't assume that they will. It talks about in Romans chapter 10 that it says, how shall they have to call upon the Lord to be saved. It says, how they call upon someone who they have not believed in, how shall they believe in Him if they haven't heard about Him? And how shall they hear without a preacher, without someone to actually tell them? And so we realize it's a necessity. And so they need someone to tell them, because the devil, we recognize, is trying to keep them in darkness and blindness. And so we have to have someone share the truth with them. And sometimes we think, well, maybe someone else will do it, but we can't assume that. We don't know if we can hope, but there's no guarantee of that. And so it's the idea, if I have the truth, I should be sharing it with others, because it is the fate of someone else's life can hang in the balance. And so I should learn to be a witness. But we want to understand, not only does God command us to witness, it's important to realize that God enables us to witness, because we can understand the command, but struggle to know how to do it. And that's the thing, is that we can be convinced, yes, I need to witness, I need to have courage, I need to be able to share about Jesus with others, but we struggle to do so. And why? Because it makes us very uncomfortable. Because sometimes we just struggle to know what to say. And I think the big thing is we're afraid of a negative response. That we try to share the truth with someone and they'll react against us. They might even decide that they don't want to be friends with us anymore because we're trying to share with them the truth. Maybe truth we know they need to hear, but a truth maybe they don't want to hear. And so we really struggle with that. It's not a lack of understanding of what God wants us to do, and I don't think it's necessarily a lack of love for other people. It's just we get in that moment and we freeze up and we just, I don't know what to say. And we don't step forward when we want to. And so we want to understand this truth. And this is something that applies to many different principles in the Bible. But someone has said God's commands are His enablings. And we really want to understand that with God. That He doesn't tell us to do something and then basically give us no means of actually doing it. Right? He doesn't play games with us like that. If he gives us a command, he's basically wants to provide us with the resources so that we can do it. And sometimes our mistake is that we try to do his commands in our own strength. And of course, it never works. And so it's, I need to do his commands using the resources that he has given us. And that's the thought, that by giving us the Holy Spirit, He enables us to be His witnesses. And that's what that verse says, that ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. And there's an obvious progression, that it's like you receive the Holy Ghost, you get power, and then you can witness. And so we want to understand that. And because we've received the Holy Ghost, that within us, we have that ability. And of course, it's not in our flesh. It's in the one that is within us. We have this witness of the Spirit that resides within. And so we want to understand that the Holy Spirit bears witness of Jesus. And so we actually see that in the Scriptures. John chapter 16, and verse number 13, where he says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you." So you can kind of think of it with the Holy Spirit. His real focus and desire is to glorify Christ, to speak of Christ, to lift up His name, to draw people unto Him. And so if that's His desire and that's working within us, we realize in many ways He's wanting to do that. He's within us and He's just saying, allow me to have a chance to bear witness of Jesus through you. And so we can realize that as we're yielding to Him and allowing Him to guide us, then it isn't a worry about what do I say, that we can just trust, okay, in the moment that he'll be able to give the words to speak. It says this in Luke chapter 12, verse 11 and 12. It says, "And when they bring you into the synagogues and the magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say." And so that's really the thing, and because we can try to do it, like, and I've sometimes seen that where people, like, you can have like this course where it's like you almost practice, okay, what's the delivery that I have to follow, that I just basically, I work this program and this system, and that's going to make it work. But we want to realize it's like people aren't cookie cutters, right? That it might work for one person in a certain kind of culture, but it might not work very well in it with a different person, a different culture. And so we want to realize the Holy Spirit knows that person more than we do, and he knows just how to say it to get through to that person. And so instead of us trying to have this whole kind of list of, okay, well, these are like the kind of the lines that I use, and if this one doesn't work, well, this is my next one. Instead, it's like, okay, I need to draw close to the Spirit and have it so that, like, I'm depending on him. He's giving me the words to speak, and that's what's going to enable me to actually say what needs to be said. Well, this is the thought, too, is that the Holy Spirit, we see Jesus refers to him as the Comforter. And that's very important, because when we feel uncomfortable in the role of being a witness, that he is there to help us to become comfortable in that. And so it's the thing, is that our tendency in the flesh is like, I'm not comfortable, I'm going to hold back, and even though God's telling me to do this, I'm going to actually disobey God and feel bad about it, because I know that I should, I know that this person needs to hear. But instead, we change it where, okay, I'm going to do what God says, I'm going to try to help this person, seeking the Lord's help, but in that moment, the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and so he gives us the power so that we can be comfortable in that role. And so we want to have that, where we realize that the Holy Spirit is there to help us in this, that it isn't. And I think really that's something we want to understand with the Great Commission and with witnessing. Because Jesus didn't say, well, go and preach all by yourself in your own power. And then when you get to heaven, I'll tell you how bad a job you did, kind of thing. It's like he says, I want you to go out, and he says, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. That this isn't something you're doing alone. And really, we want to understand that we're entering into his labors, that he's the one that cares about this person. He's the one that's been bringing different people maybe into their lives to plant seeds of the gospel in their hearts. And we're just another person that is part of his team that he's been using to bring this person in. And so really it's not, oh, what do I have to do? It's like God's doing something, and he wants us to help him and be a part of it. And ultimately, of course, he's going to get the glory, not us. Because it isn't, if we, and that's part of the problem. If we are, if we finagled someone into making a confession, a lot of times that ends up going bad, because you have these people that are think they're saved but they're not, and it's a lot of confusion, right? It's a whole lot better if we allow God to do the work and make sure that what's said is what's right, so the person actually makes a true confession and acceptance of the gospel. We want to see as well that God rewards our witness. And so we see here Proverbs 11 verse 3, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. And so we want to understand that when we do wrong, we know there's always consequences. It could be immediate consequences, long-term consequences, right? But we know that there's always, on the other side, there's always consequences if we're doing something good, if we're obeying God's command. So blessings always come to us as a consequence of our obedience to God's commands. And so there will be some blessings that will be present and immediate, but as well we realize there's going to be blessings that are going to be long-term, even blessings that are eternal. And I've been able to have the opportunity to lead a lot of people to the Lord, but I can think of two people specifically that I'm looking forward to see in heaven, that I was there when they made that decision and had just a small part in that, and it's going to be great to be able to rejoice with them. And so there's things that we can think of that. But it's a thought, as we witness, not only do we experience the blessing of seeing lives rescued, we also understand that we gain wisdom from God in living life with the right focus and priorities. Because that's kind of the thing, is that we can get wrapped up in living life for the now, living for just whether it's financial success or whatever, however you would define that, or a certain level of income or something like that. But it's the thing is where we can have a part in eternity, and we're like, okay, God's doing a work, I get to be a part of it, I want to see his work advance, I want to see people help. That it just helps us. It's always a thing, if we're focused on doing things that are good, that always helps us to stay away from things that are unprofitable and destructive. And so it can really give us a real joy in life of seeing other people help. But then as well, we want to understand, not only does God reward our witness, but God designs our witness. And this is kind of the thought of what God's doing behind the scenes as we submit to him. And so in Mark chapter 5, we have the man is called the maniac of Gadara, a man that was possessed with many devils, that was basically a danger to himself and others, and just seemed to be in a hopeless situation. But Jesus went, and that's the amazing thing with Jesus, which is his compassion. He went all the way across the Sea of Galilee and went through quite a terrible storm in the middle of the night to get over to this one person to reach him. And he reached this person and rescued him from his plight. But because of the circumstance that happened, it kind of scared the inhabitants there, and they asked Jesus, well, can you please go away? Like, we don't know who you are or what you're doing, but that frightened us, and so just go away. And so he's like, he's getting on the boat to go back over, and what happened is this fellow that he'd helped, he said, I want to come with you. And you could totally understand that. But Jesus said, no, I don't want you to go with me. I want you to go and tell your friends about what the Lord has done for you. And so we find that he did that. And it's interesting because, of course, you think about it with the life that he was living, you would think he probably would have run out of friends pretty quick, right? Because he probably would have broken most of his friendships that he did have. And so we found that he went and preached to his friends, but we also find it says he went through the Decapolis. And Decapolis, to understand, we think, what does that mean? It's basically 10 cities. And on that side of Galilee, there was basically 10 cities in this kind of province. And so he basically went to all of them and told people about what God did in his life. And so what ended up happening is The next time Jesus came across on that side of the Galilee, here there was a whole bunch of people that were waiting for him to come and wanted to receive him. And so we see that that's really how God used this fellow, and it wasn't like he had a bunch of training or anything like that, right? Like, all he did was just share what God did with him, because this is what I was before, and then Jesus came, and now I'm a free man. And so that's really a lot of times a testimony that we can give of, like, we had different struggles and sins that overcame us, but then God has set us free, so we could share that with other people. Then as well, we see in Colossians 4, verses 3 to 6, that the Apostle Paul explains how to witness to others. I'm just going to read that. and he says, we're to walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. And he says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. And so it's the idea is that we walk in wisdom, and so we realize that the way we walk the way we conduct ourselves is as much a witness as what we say, right? And so a changed life. If we were once one way and now we're a different person, that's a big part of it, that we're now walking wisdom. It's the idea of redeeming the time. That's the idea of making the most of the opportunities that God gives us. And then it's when God does give us the opportunities, it's how we speak. It's always with grace, seasoned with salt. And you think of it, grace is God's love and favor, even when we don't deserve it, right? And so you think of, I think a really big good example would be Jesus when he was dealing with the woman that was caught in adultery, where all the scribes and Pharisees that brought her were just condemning her, saying we should put her to death, and really not caring for justice. They're just trying to find a way that they could entrap Jesus in his words. And after Jesus was able to get them out of their own guiltiness of their hearts to leave the scene, he said to her, has no one condemned me? And she says, no man, Lord. He says, well, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And so it's, you think of that, grace seasoned with salt. It wasn't like he was saying, oh, well, just keep doing what you're doing, right? He's saying, no, you need to stop what you're doing because it's self-destructive. But I'm not going to just beat you over the head and with this. And so it's kind of the thing is, like, we have to help people see that even though, yes, they need to know they're a sinner, they also need to know that they can be forgiven and that they don't have to hold on to the guilt and shame, that they can be free from it. And so it's kind of the idea of grace seasoned with salt. Salt, it always enhances the flavor, right? And so it's kind of that thing where as we share the truth, it should make them desire more. It should make them want to receive it. And so it's, again, and it's allowing God to speak his words of grace through us. It's not us saying, okay, how do I frame this and have the right kind of delivery so that a person will accept this? No, it's say, okay, Lord, I need you to know, tell me what to say to this person so that they'll receive it. And so finally, we want to understand that our flesh wants to make witnessing seem as complicated and intimidating as possible. And our flesh does its best to provide us with every excuse imaginable not to do it. That so often, what do we have in our mind that is like, well, I'm no kind of professional soul winner or someone to be able to talk. And so, like, I don't know what to say. I need to take a course. And it's like, and we could take a dozen courses and still not feel comfortable, right? But it doesn't have to do with our training. It's more with, okay, how we got to train ourselves to allow the Spirit to speak through us. And of course, we find a lot of excuses. I think all of us, we've experienced that, where we think, oh, I should talk to this person. Like, oh, no, we're not interested. Oh, I'll wait till they're in a better mood. Or, oh, it's, I don't have enough time. Or, oh, I have too much time. Or, oh, there's other people around. Or, like, we can think of every excuse possible, right? And a lot of times, sadly, the opportunities can run away rather quickly. That, like, I've had some people, sadly, where I'm always meaning to talk to them about it, but then they die suddenly, and then it's like I didn't get that chance. And so we want to understand that as we daily walk with God and we enter into His work, because we think about that, He's taking us along step by step. He's ordering us, directing our steps. And He's saying to us, okay, come with me today. I want you to be a part of something I'm doing in someone else's life. And so basically he allows us to be there and is using us. And so it isn't complicated. It's actually really simple, because we're like the maniac of a dare. We don't need training. All we have to do is share what God has done for us. And then through our testimony, we allow the Holy Spirit to speak through us to other people. And of course, it's not going to be comfortable to start with, but that's why God gave us a comforter. And that's really, I think that's, our society is obsessed with trying to always be kind of happy and comfortable. And we don't want to get out of our comfort zone. But the thing is God wants us out of there, but He gives us a comforter. So it's like we don't have to be afraid that we can do something difficult, but then He's there to help us, there to encourage us, there to strengthen us. And then we found, wow, this was good. This I would have missed out if I would have stayed in my comfort zone. And so as we try to learn to witness, that's what the Lord's trying to help us. He's just saying, okay, come on out of your comfort zone, come with me, I want to do something great with you. And as we learn to walk with Him, then it just becomes something that we learn how, and we find out how great it is to be a part of it, and we want to do it even more.